stick around, all you chatter chicks, because Ghost Chatter is about to start.
You don't have to be a plumber to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts.
Shaniqua, age 14. Ryan, age 9.
But this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Terrell and Jamal, age 6 months.
Please go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up to get free Amber Alert text messages on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today for free at wirelessamberalerts.org. You can imagine what the family of an abducted child is feeling.
Alexander, age 7.
If you actually did help save that child, just imagine what that would feel like. WirelessAmberAlerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The goal of a man is to make his voice heard during their lives. Only in death can man's voice be truly silenced. Or is it? There exists a place we go when we leave this earth. A place where our voice can never be silenced. The place exists in the paranormal universe, and it remains separated from the reality of the living. But sometimes, the will of the living and the deceased is so strong that it breaks through the barriers that divides the two realities. The voices of the departed are heard once again. We call this Ghost Chatter.
Ghost Chatter.
Now your host, Jimmy Morris.
Hello everyone and welcome to Ghost Chatter. Want to thank everyone for tuning in to our Chatterbox today, and if you have access to the internet, I'd like to invite you over to our online chat site at www.para-x.com. Once there, you can click on the live chat button that's right up on the top of the menu. That will bring you straight into our interactive chat site. Once you're here, you can chat with many paranormal like-minded individuals as well as interact with us here on the show. So come on over and check us out. Today's guest is joining us from the East Coast, from Massachusetts. He is the author of a book called Ordaining Reality. The book deals with metaphysics and the power of positive thinking. So let's welcome to the show Joseph Donlan. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Jimmy. It is my pleasure to be here.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Was really looking forward to this. Glad you could get on here tonight. And, you know, really interested in talking to you about metaphysical aspects of things because, you know, as myself, I deal a lot in the paranormal as far as paranormal investigating and such. And, you know, it's always great to talk to someone who is kind of into the more metaphysical aspects of that. And I think we'll have a great show.
I'm sure it will, and I'm going to appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about that.
So, tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm sorry. Sure. And by the way, I'm getting a little in and out on the audio. Do I sound clear? Am I coming through okay?
Everything sounds crystal clear here. I'm not seeing any breaks in our audio.
Okay,
and anyone out there tuning in the chat room, please be sure to let us know if you hear anything that doesn't sound right, so we can adjust them out up here in the studio. We'd really appreciate that.
Very good. Yes, well, Jimmy, actually, it's a series of books basically under the Ordaining Reality title, if you would. And really, it's essentially the same topic It's just that the first one is rather large and maybe somewhat scientific, and it was really almost written for physicists and metaphysicists because we're really coming up and breaking some new ground, and it had gone through a lot of peer review and so forth. The next one was to take that and simplify it for folks who had a strong interest in science, wanted to know some of the background information, but not necessarily delving too deeply into it. And then, frankly, the last one is to try to, you know, get it out so to the masses, so to speak, so that it explains at a much higher level and basically references, if you will, the other two books. So it's, however, they're slightly different as well, because this information continually changes. There's new stuff going on and new discoveries going on all the time along the basically, the theoretical physicists are coming up with new ways to experiment and understand things. So the later two books, even though they're more condensed, also are a little bit newer, and I'm coming up with a brand new version of the original book because obviously you have to keep on renewing this stuff as new things come about. But so that's kind of in terms of how many books there are, and it's ordaining reality, anyone can look at ordaining reality. Just Google ordaining reality, or look at it on Amazon, or just ordainingreality.com, and I'm joedonlin.com, and we'll tell you a little bit more about what I'm talking about. However, to your question, Jimmy, the books are really about explaining in scientific terms, and depending on which book it is, in greater or lesser degree, that there is, in fact, some very conclusive new evidence to support very much what you are talking about on your show, that parapsychological phenomenon, paranormal phenomenon, and metaphysical phenomenon do, in fact, exist. Now, if you were a physicist, an absolutely, by-the-book physicist, you would... well, let's go back about 10 years, you probably would have poo-pooed that notion. You would have said, well, you know what, I've gone through that, I've gone down this road, I don't really believe it, we can't experimentally duplicate it, and so forth and so on. And yet you know, and I'm sure an awful lot of your listeners know, how often, you know, folks are experiencing, at least from a personal standpoint, events that you would call paranormal, that you see no other explanation. Mm-hmm. And so there's the schism. Okay, so we have laws that say that's hogwash, but we have people saying, well, you may be hogwashing your laws, but I'm experiencing it. I mean, you know, how do you explain this? This is way beyond the possibility of coincidence. Now, statistically, anything is possible. But when you have hundreds of thousands of people experiencing something that the odds are, you know, billions or trillions to one, you know, that they would occur, you begin to think maybe something's there. And so basically that was the premise of the book. Now, this has been about 25 years of research, but heavy in the last 10 years. And so I kind of delved into the laws of physics and came up with a number of different openings, if you would, a number of different ways to interpret real physical laws, Einstein's theories and so forth and so on, to kind of reshape them without breaking them, and came up with basically a new paradigm. And the new paradigm supports the realm of the paranormal, supports the realm of the metaphysical. And interestingly enough, that new paradigm solves a tremendous number of problems that physicists are dealing with and grappling with today. In other words, you know, physicists may believe that, in fact, paranormal is, I'll say hogwash again. However, they're also dealing with a large number, about 18 or 19 areas of research that they can't explain. This new paradigm that opens up the world, if you would, it opens up the world of physics to paranormal and metaphysics, coincidentally solves these problems. So it's kind of like a litmus test. You said, hey, it's kind of interesting. Not only can I now explain that, but these other problems go away. So that was really the foundation of the book. And a lot of research, a lot of help from a lot of very, very smart physicists. And so basically the premise of the book was, you know, explaining that this metaphysical realm existed, and then also how you can tap into it to be able to do things like ordain your reality, be able to focus on what you want and make that happen. because I knew that would be of interest. It was interesting to me, and of interest, I figured, to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, Jimmy, it opens up exactly what you're talking about. You know, the whole spirit world. Now, so that's, you know, that's the short of it, or long of it.
Let me ask you a question based on something that you said there. You had said, you know, that you answered a lot. You were able to come up with a lot of answers based on, you know, the laws of physics on things, you know, without actually breaking those. Now, in saying that, did you not go as far as to not break them because you thought that, you know, you believe in those laws of relativity, or was there a thought that, you know, if you did break those, it would be harder for the scientific community to accept?
Yeah, it was really probably a slight combination of both, but much more it was the case that the laws of physics have been borne out by continual experiments that support them. And so if the experiments that support them continually suggest that those laws are correct, it would be very dangerous to go ahead and to say that they're incorrect. So basically what you had to do is you had to come up with maybe another way to look at it. Let me just give you one example of that might help. The laws of physics state that the speed of light travels at roughly 186,280 miles per second. So everyone believes that. And there's a number of things based on that. Now, in order for metaphysics to work, something must be traveling in zero time, infinite time. And it works out that the laws of physics would forbade that anything would travel in zero time, information or whatever. And one of the premises of Einstein is that, and I'm going to try to keep this light now, space itself, the distance between two events in space, the physical distance is in zero time. It's just how long it takes an entity to get from point A to point B. And Einstein, for example, is saying that light is the entity that travels at the fastest speed. So that, for example, if you were, say on the moon, which is roughly, you know, say 300,000 miles away.
Correct.
That it might take a second and a quarter for something to get there, okay, and then a second and a quarter to get back. Well, my theory looks at that and says that light itself takes zero time to get there. However, physical space, the separation of space, is actually at the speed of light. In other words, space itself is at the speed of light. So what I've done is I've simply taken the same equations, but just used different factors. So it's actually that distance travels at the speed of light, not light traveling at the speed of light through distance. So it's that may be a little tough to follow, but obviously I explained in the book. Yeah. And when you do that, wow, it's like Pandora's box. A whole bunch of things open up and things become explainable. And all of a sudden now, a lot of things that you couldn't explain before become readily apparent. So it's just kind of a different way to look at some of the same laws. So the formulas are the same, and the results of those formulas are consistent, but it's just a different way to measure things.
Exactly, because I know one of the big things in physics, one of the big questions or theories, theory would probably be a better term for it, is that, you know, there's a big theory out there that space itself is the thing that is actually moving, not so much as, you know, the objects that are traveling. And I know that's been thrown around out there, you know, quite often, you know, in the past 10 years. And, you know, and I think there may be something to that. And I think that's what scientists base what they call faster than light travel would be possible if, you know, that were true. If, you know, space was the thing that was moving, then something could travel faster than light, you know, if it is traveling, let's say, in the opposite direction that space was moving.
Yeah, actually, Barber, who was Julie Barber, was a physicist that came up with the a book called The End of Time, and had somewhat of a premise about that. That's a little bit of a variation of my particular theme, but you know, but to that point, one of the things that the scientists can't explain is in the beginning of time, so-called Big Bang, that the universe expanded at, you know, several hundred thousand times the speed of light. And they don't understand that. Okay, they don't understand how the universe could expand faster than the speed of light when we're saying now that the speed of light is the speed limit, if you would, of the universe. They don't have any laws that could explain how that would be then, and then how it wouldn't be now.
Correct.
I do come up with the answers for that. And then the other part of it is that Hubble showed, and this is another anomaly of physics, that the universe is not only expanding, but it's expanding more rapidly the further out it is. And in fact, it appears that it's expanding faster than the speed of light. So that's the other anomaly, that you know, if gravity is what it should be, this gets into the whole thing about dark matter and dark energy. But if the universe is expanding at faster than the speed of light, we don't have any explanation for that. And even if the universe is expanding faster as it gets further out, we don't have any explanation for that. So these are things that kind of talk to that issue, and that's some of the reasons that people are coming up with these theories. But my premise is that we're on a faulty, we're on a shaky foundation, and what we're trying to do is put patches, you know, put a little rebar here and a little cement there and so forth to try to make this shaky foundation solid again. And I really went down to the bedrock of the foundation, which was actually Newtonian physics, and kind of went from there and came up with a new paradigm. But, you know, it isn't so much about the metaphysical, about the physical aspect of it or the physics of it. It is really that now I think there's a credible scientific explanation for exactly the kinds of things you talk about in your show. And up until my books were published, there was really two sides saying, well, you know, I understand that you say that it can't be true, but I'm experiencing this. So we had that, and now we have some way to kind of bridge that gap a bit.
Cool. And I've got a question that popped up out in the chat room, and I think it was kind of directed at you. And I wanted to know, are you suggesting that any two points in physical space are somehow connected outside of the three dimensions?
Every two spaces in physical space within the entire universe are connected, instantaneously connected. That's an Eastern concept, and it's very, very much a central part of what they call harmonics theory, that all things are connected. It's the kind of the unity that they talk about in the Eastern sense. So all points are connected, and the way all points are connected is really two ways. That physically there is distance, and distance itself travels at the speed of light, as I just talked about. However, information, which actually travels in zero time, actually connects everything. So that's how we can have these sensations of deja vu, and that's how we can have these sensations of premonitions, so that we actually can know something that hasn't happened yet, and also can instantaneously experience something that has already occurred. So this is this forward and backward connection of time, because all events intrinsically are connected.
Cool. On that note, we're going to jump away here for our first break, Joe. So everyone else out there, please stay tuned. Ghost Chatter will return here in just a few moments.
Don't go away. Ghost Chatter will return in just a few moments.
This is Dr. Dave from the Dr. X Show. Join me Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern for some great music, conversation, and a good time. Hope to see you there.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you hear strange noises? See apparitions in the shadows or things moving out of the corner of your eye? If you do, you are not alone. Texas Paranormal Research is a professional, federally registered, nonprofit organization that specializes in investigating paranormal activity. If you're experiencing activity and need someone to turn to, we're here for you. Our founder and lead investigator has over 14 years' experience investigating the paranormal and experienced in using equipment such as night vision cameras, digital and analog recorders, motion sensors, laser tracking systems, and thermal imaging systems. Our services are free of charge, and your case is treated strictly confidential. Contact us to discuss your case at www.tprt.org or email help@tprt.org. Texas Paranormal Research, helping those affected by the paranormal, one ghost at a time.
Is the Wild West getting too wild? Are those laid to rest getting restless? Don't let the unexplained stay unexplained. For a discreet, professional investigation of your paranormal phenomena, contact Sonoram Paranormal Investigations, serving all of the state of Arizona. Find us on the web at sonoranparanormal.com. Sonoran Paranormal is a proud member of the TAPS Family Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Now we turn to the Ghost Chatter.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ghost Chatter. We are here with our special guest tonight, so let's get back over to him. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about metaphysical. Man, you guys have to excuse me. I'm like choking on my words here tonight. we were going over some metaphysical things, and we had a couple questions that came out of the chat room that were really good. And you know, Joe, it was just some really great topics, you know, that you were bringing up. And I know some people out there who are listening, you know, may be wondering, you know, how does this connect with the paranormal side of things? But, you know, it really does, and I really want to try to get into that next here, Joe, if we could. If you could tell us a little bit about how your research and stuff has moved you into the paranormal side of things, and how the things that you have discovered and researched, how it helps to prove the existence of paranormal being.
Sure. Well, you know, good question. You know, probably as is the case with, I would say, virtually every reader out there, because it's not every reader, every listener out there in your radio land. You know, and because it's the case with almost every human on this earth, is that you've experienced what you consider to be a paranormal, you know, event. You know, whether it's something as innocuous as you were just thinking about somebody and then boom, the phone rings and it's that person, or you were in a mall and you thought you saw a friend and you kind of, you know, looked up and they found out it wasn't that friend, and then you turned around the next, you know, the next way you turn around and you run into that real person. You say, oh my gosh, I had this, like, you know, I just thought I ran into you, and then there you are. So these kinds of things are occurring all over the place, and we are, you know, we're certainly experiencing them. And so you had science saying there is no connection, and you had people, you know, again, saying that there seems to be a connection. And really what we've found is that there are two realms. And there's also two ways of seeing things, okay? There's the Western viewpoint, which is kind of a cold, hard science experimental viewpoint, which, by the way, depicts the laws of physics. Mm-hmm. And there's the Eastern viewpoint, which is a much more of a fluid, open, and I don't mean open that the other is closed, it's just a kind of a fluid, almost dream state viewpoint of things. And what's interesting, and I point this out in my book, it's kind of an original thesis, is that the left brain, the left hemisphere of our brain, is very much aligned along the Western viewpoint. And by the way, that's also the connection, if you will, with all of our senses, so that all of the physical senses don't necessarily come in that way, but they all get rationalized through the left brain. And in the right brain, what you basically have is effectively the metaphysical. Now, the metaphysical we can tune into, and you can tune into it a number of different ways. You can tune into it through meditation. You can tune into it through just spontaneous situations, which would explain parapsychological phenomenon. And secondly, you can tune into it through drugs, and you often tune into it through dreaming. So basically, these are the ways that you've actually tuned into this other realm. But what ends up happening is, and we know this by experimentation, I do a great deal of research on brain functions, and what ends up happening is that the left brain, the left hemisphere, is almost like it's the moderator of everything that you're really truly thinking and saying. So in other words, if you're having this premonition, well, in order to articulate it, it's got to go through the left brain, because that's really where speech is formed. And many, many times, the left brain is actually censoring what it is that you're experiencing, and you can't either articulate it, or it almost poo-poos it, okay? Mm-hmm. And what happens is, through life, culture ends up strengthening our ability of the left brain. In other words, it makes us all homogeneous, and there's a term called acculturation, which is, it makes everybody kind of conform from a societal standpoint to a certain norm.
The speech is
formed. More and more, right? Yeah, so more and more that these thoughts get sublimated, so they actually get kind of trapped in there. A perfect example of this, Jimmy, is if you've ever had, some of your listeners can probably identify with this, if you've ever had a completely bizarre dream, completely doesn't make any sense dream, and you wake up in the morning and you know you had this crazy dream, it's in your head, and you want to tell, your significant other, "Whoa, what a crazy dream I just had." And she or he will say, "Well, what was it?" And you go to tell them the dream, and you literally, it's evaporating every time you go to articulate any part of it. You're literally running the tape into the left brain, but you can't say it because it's so bizarre and it doesn't make any sense. There's a clinical term called verbal overshadowing, and that's exactly what happens. And you stop. You'll stop recounting it because you know you're destroying it. It's still there, but every time you go to say it, it's going away. So it's in your head, and you can't get it out. And trying to get it out, you're actually erasing it. So then we get to all of this research, and we say, gee, why do we have these two brains? Why do we have a brain side, this right hemisphere side, that can tune into this paranormal and metaphysical, but why do we have the left brain that kind of says it's not real? And then basically that's kind of what I get to explain why we are anatomically designed this way, because it kind of is that we need both. So exactly what we're talking about is that at this one moment in time, your right brain was receptive, and it was able to tune into, brief little vignettes, if you would, of what's going on in the metaphysical world. Some people can do more of it. Some people can't. Some people can do very little. Most people have done some. People that are, really good, folks that can, be in touch with dead people and so forth, and seances and mediums and so forth. Well, I mean, and I'm talking about the legitimate ones. Mm-hmm. Well, they happen to have this ability, very strong capability of this ability to tune into the world of the paranormal. And to me, it's just simply, to be honest with you, it's the real world. It's the iceberg, not the tip of the iceberg that you see, above the water. It's the real thing. And I really, and I've got a lot of evidence to support that's much closer to reality than what we think of as the merely endless array of vibrations garnered by our senses and interpreted by our physically oriented left hemisphere that we call reality.
Now, what would you classify as, where would you classify, like, paranormal spirits? Where do you think they exist? I mean, how are they communicating with us? How would you explain their existence of where they are?
Okay. Well, here's where, great question, by the way, Jimmy. Here's where I begin to actually break ranks, if you would, with some of the folks that believe that spirits are out there, mm-hmm. alive and talking to us. And by the way, I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm only saying that I don't have a theory that that can support that. But let me get to the first part of it.
Okay.
Every thought that you have ever had, every thought that I've ever had, is actually effectively in the realm of the metaphysical. So that's why there is thought transference. That's why there is this whole sense of deja vu. That's why there is this kind of connection between people, and they're permanent. That thought is instantaneously across the universe and permanent. And I explained I literally explained the physics of that model. Now, we as entities are both receiving and broadcasting. So we're creating, we're receiving thoughts, and we're creating new thoughts. However, I'm in agreement, I guess, with an awful lot of people that are believing in, you know, life after death and so forth, up to a certain extent. However, in my particular theory, I don't have a way to explain how that spiritual entity, which, by the way, is the sum total of everything you've ever thought, exists and exists permanently, how it still manifests new information after the host, if you would, ceases to exist. In other words, when you take your last breath, everything, your whole consciousness is there forever. You know, for example, I was close to my father, and I have lots of dreams about my father, and he gives me information. He gives me new information. He gives me guidance and information. But I believe that that's guidance and information that already is there and I'm just tapping into. I don't think he's creating new guidance and new information. It would be wonderful. I can't explain. I don't have any realm of in any frame of reference to be able to substantiate how that could be, so that the spirit world exists forever. But if the host dies, then that spirit world exists in whatever the, you know, in other words, it's at that level. It's just like a book that's been written, and the 400 pages of the book is not writing page 401. The 400 pages will always exist, but that host is not writing page 401, if that makes any sense. And I'm not saying that is the case. I'm only saying I can explain everything like to that point.
Okay, I think I understand. You're basically saying that, you know, the things that people are perceiving that they believe to be spirits are actually just thoughts, or, you know, thoughts or things that were already out there.
Thoughts, like thoughts, feelings, you know, yeah, exactly. Vibrations, you know, vibrations of the entity that when the entity was alive, but they're out there permanently.
Now, what would you say to the people, and you know, I would probably be one of them as a paranormal investigator who, you know, as you know, one of the things we use in paranormal investigating, you know, are recorders for getting, you know, EVPs and things of that mm-hmm. nature. And, you know, I'm very open-minded about the paranormal, and I will be the first one to tell you that, you know, I don't have hardly any of the answers, and who knows what the real story is in the end. But whenever I do investigations, and, you know, on so many occasions I've gotten things, you know, EVPs and responses that, you know, they directly answer questions that are very, very specific. Could that be from the same thing? I mean, how would I tap into something if it was already done that's answering things that I'm asking?
Well, that's a terrific question. I don't have an answer for that. You know, I don't have an answer for that. And by the way, that's why I love shows like this, because if I become convinced that there has to be, you know, living spiritual entities after the host, will say, you know, has passed on, then that throws a new, you know, a new element into my theory, because I take it, you know, to a certain extent. I don't have a theory to support how that could happen, but just as you are, Jimmy, I'm open-minded to it. I mean, you know, I'm forever learning things. Absolutely. I've taken a scientific approach to explain and substantiate, you know, the things that I know. So I have a theory that goes to that particular point. And the theory doesn't go beyond that, but if I find out that absolutely, you know, categorically seems to exist, then I'll be back to the drawing board.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you cannot be closed-minded in this field at all. There's too many things that are just either unexplainable right now or may have many different explanations, and we don't know which one's the right one, or if any of them are, or all of them are. Mm-hmm. And there's so many Absolutely. Things that have changed even since I've started investigating. I've been investigating for about 17 years, and every year, you know, something changes in the way I investigate. Things that I change because of things I've learned, you know, just from the past year or the years prior. I mean, this is forever going to be a constant learning field, you know, until, you know, if one day we actually make a big breakthrough to where we actually figure out exactly how all this stuff works.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We may be ready to take a break, but you know, I am obviously dying to get you on the show to talk to you about some of your specific experiences to kind of substantiate that exists. But I'm curious, even on the guests in the show, you know, to have you maybe talk about some of those events, because that is very interesting. How the spirit world can answer very specific. Specific questions. I've actually been at seances and table risings and so forth, and I've seen evidence of that. But, you know, I can't say for sure, even though I was amazed, I can't say for sure that we weren't creating the answers and somebody else was picking up. No. So, you know, that was my problem. And again, I'm not trying to be a skeptic. I just had to have a theory that could be able to support that, and I haven't been able to come up with one.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know the same thing. I've seen people do table tipping sessions, and just that the way they did them, you know, they left it all open to interpretation on whether it was faked or staged, and you know. But on the other hand, I've seen some people do it in such a manner to where, you know, I'm skeptical of things that I see, because I don't want someone, you know, basically, you know, pulling the wool over my eyes or making me look right. stupid because of some crazy stuff they're trying to do to pull yep. one over on me. So,
I mean, just to give you an example, I was at a table rising event, okay, where there were, you know, a bunch of people that have done this a million times, and this was a card table, a light card table, were able to get the table to rise. And one by one, they put We were theoretically all skeptics. One by one, they put all four of us, you know, just one by one, on the table. So that now there is nothing but the person telling the table to rise, okay, and four people on the table who doubted that was going to happen, who now became believers because they were on it, and the table was rising, and I was one of the four people. Now, maybe the other three had something that, you know, that I didn't know about, but I thought they were just as skeptical as I, and these are people I knew.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a pretty scary experience, let me tell you that. Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, you know, every one of us said, this is a lot of bull, you know, blah, 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 and when it's nothing but the four of you on there, you know, and somebody else telling the table what to do and the table doing that, stood your hair on end.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, I have seen things happen that would be 90% authentic, but there was still that 10% in the back of my mind that says, you know, did this person do this or was that right. done? But I remember a time when I was in a location and there was a set of keys on a long like a coffee table sitting in the living room. Now, I was in this room alone. I knew there was nothing attached to those keys because earlier I had those keys in my hand. You know, I had to actually pick them up because one of the things that they had talked about was that, like, keys would get thrown across the room. Lamps would get moved. They'd went through, like, three different ones because they'd been pushed off and broken. So I'm in this room. I'm by myself. There was only two of us there, and the other person was back in the back room. And right there before my eyes, these keys turned a circle and slid halfway across that table. And when there's nobody else there, there's nothing where you can sit there and say, well, I wonder if anybody done that. You know, it's a much greater impact on you than if there's any type of doubt whatsoever in your mind.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
And I'm sure that's the same way you found on the table.
My firstborn, I know it's just, I wouldn't want to bet my firstborn that there was no, you know, trickery to that table rising that I experienced, but I certainly can't explain it. And I mean, it was a life changing event.
Absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, those type of events are the things that, you know, I've seen a lot of things where people have tried to fake stuff. I go on investigations, waste my time because people are trying to fake stuff. You know, but it's these far and few incidents in between that when they happen that you know there's no possible way. When you're there all by yourself, you've been all through that table, you've had it upside down, inside out, it's not magnetized or strings coming anywhere, and
right,
you know that what just happened right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, are we okay for breaks?
Getting ready to jump away for another quick break. So, everyone, please stay tuned. Ghost Chatter will return here in just a few moments.
Going to the dial. Ghost Chatter will return in a few moments.
For years, we've been telling you that Para-X is the place for everything paranormal. But Para-X is much more than that. It's a place where people of all ages can come together and celebrate a common interest.
Hello. Para-X brings people to...
What? Hello. Is this on? Is this on? Can they hear me? Hey, I've only got a few seconds, but this is me. Me from the future. I have to warn you. Para-X is going to take over the world. I know, it's true. I'm telling you, it all starts in 2011. Some previous unknown virus attacks every mainframe in the world. The virus makes every web link go straight to Para-X. Don't you get it? Wait, what's that? Oh my God, they're coming. It's the virus, you gotta stop the virus. The virus helps Para-X take over the world. Look out for it. Oh my God, they're here. The CCs are here. Beware of the virus. The name of the virus is called the Chatter Chick. It's a Chatter Chick virus. It helps take over the world. Look out for it. Oh my God!
A sunny day with bright rainbows, that's what Para-X is all about. So join Para-X today and make this a great new world. World. You've enjoyed Para-X on your computer at work and at home. But today, there's a new way to listen to your favorite shows. Para-X has gone mobile. That's right. Para-X is now available on the Nokia Internet Radio Network. Now, you can take Para-X with you wherever you go. Never miss your favorite shows again. Para-X on your cell phone. Tune in today. Nokia Internet Radio is available on all Nokia portable devices with access to the Internet. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. Now on Nokia.
And now, Ghost Chatter presents Ghostly Flashbacks on the Para-X Radio Network.
Explanation is needed.
everyone. Welcome back to Ghost Chatter. My name is Jimmy Morris, and I'm your host here tonight with our special guest from Massachusetts. He is the author of a book series called Ordaining Reality. So welcome back, Joseph Donlan.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, you know, Jimmy, kind of almost turning the tables on the guest host thing here. You know, I'm fascinated by some of the research you've done, and I know you've been in this field for a while, and that, you know, you're not a sensationalist, you're really looking for the answers. And it's probably helpful, maybe your audience has probably heard this a number of times, but for me it's useful to kind of get a little bit of, you know, how you get into this, and maybe when you get into this, and maybe some of the events that you've run into that, you know, you can't explain any other way. I mean, this is really what kind of drove me down the road that I went down to explain things from a physical standpoint, from a physics standpoint, and you're doing it from really an experimentation and investigation, you know, standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I said, I've been doing paranormal investigating for about 17 years, and, you know, during that time, you know, there's been times when I was very skeptical about things. I pretty much started investigating to kind of prove that there wasn't anything, rather than trying to prove that there was. And as time went on, I would experience something here, something there, that by themselves didn't seem like that big a thing. But kind of like you said earlier, when you were talking about metaphysics, you know, science and the general population said one thing, but all the other little things that I uncovered were saying another, and I was uncovering them in far off places from each other, completely different situations, completely different scenarios, different people, but I was coming across the same things. You know, I'm getting these responses. I'm getting voices from these people. I'm saying, I'm not even telling someone what this is, and I'll say, hey, does this sound familiar? And they'll say, oh my gosh, that sounds like so-and-so. Without them even knowing that 10 minutes down the line, I asked for a name, and that was the name that I've got on the recording that they don't even know yet.
And of course, the odds of that being, you know, coincidence are astronomical.
Exactly. And we did an investigation just a month ago at a it's a museum here now, but it used to be the old jail. And it's a pretty neat little setup. It's a 3-story building. They got the second floor that has like an indoor hanging cell where they would hang people inside rather than take them outside. And then a third floor, which you could tell by the way it was set up, was for more long-term, more dangerous people, because, you know, in the middle, you know, you'd have to go through like 4 sets of security bars to even get to the outside wall. And one of the things that we got there was we got a voice there that says, we were asking, you know, we'd like to help you anyway if we could. And a voice shot back on the recorder that says, you can help us. And then 5 seconds later, a different voice said, Jimmy can help us. And just the fact that they replied with my name, or, you know, anybody's name, but in this case it was mine that was there. Wow. You know, you've got to say, well, wow, you know, they directly acknowledged us and what we were doing, and, you know, called us by name. And, you know, that kind of takes out the thing of a lot of people who talk about, you know, residual energies, you know, which we do have in the paranormal field. You know, we have residual energies of spirits that have been to a place that seem to kind of echo back and forth and, you know, kind of repeat the same thing. And then we get things that just interact directly with us in that moment in time. And then we have to ask ourselves, you know, hey, well, what is that? I mean, they just call me by name.
Right. See, that's the fascinating thing. The residual energy, by the way, is something that, you know, the Native Americans, you know, have understood and can explain many, many cultures. And I have a scientific, rational, you know, explanation for that. I don't have for just the thing you're talking about. So that's very interesting. In other words, those the all the feelings and emotions and so forth that the folks felt, and why they're still there and still connected, I can explain that till the cows come home. It's exactly part of my paradigm. But the new part, I don't have an explanation for. And the more I hear of it, it is another fascinating story, especially from, I know your listeners know this, but, you are an investigator. You're not, it'd be like somebody who is, who is out to find, Bigfoot, and they see evidence of him, as opposed to somebody that knows nothing and they think that they see, this large creature. Somebody that, this is what they do for a job. This is what they kind of understand how to differentiate reality from illusion, if you would.
Exactly.
And so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's the same deal, like you were talking about with someone who's on a Bigfoot hunt. There are so many things that if I made a big deal about everything that I've encountered, then, I would be talking 24/7 because, there's always, a noise or, a bump.
Sure.
Something, the door closed and things like that. But, I have to say, okay, well, the door could have been the wind. That mm-hmm. knock could have been a pipe.
Yep.
Unless it's something to where I can back it up and say, okay, well, there's no way it could have been this, then
exactly.
Those are the things that I will bring to the table and say, this is why I based this on that, because there was nobody else in the room. I had those keys in my hand 10 minutes ago. Nobody has touched them since. I checked the table. There's nothing on there. There's no strings, no magnets. I flipped it upside down. It's just a wood table.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
I've tried to slide them back, and the force it took me to slide it that far, I had to give them a good shove. So, it wasn't nothing to where they just turned a half a turn and flew halfway across the table on their own by the way they were sitting, or the table was slanted, or there was water on the table.
Right, right. No, I appreciate that. And, again, you're an investigator, and if you did report every kind of little nuance, two things. One is you really wouldn't be true to what it is you're trying to do, and second of all, you wouldn't be taken seriously. And even in my own research, I had thousands of cases that I could explain too easily by other events. But it was those few that there was no other explanation. None. And if it was just one, then you can say, well, in the laws of quantum mechanics, anything is possible. But when you have enough of those real cases and there's no other explanation, that actually kind of becomes a driving force to have you come up with a different paradigm. And I know that's what you've been doing.
Yeah. Now, I had another question that came in, and I think this has to do with when we were talking a little bit about residual energies and such. The question was, ask him, how about residual personality? Now, I can only assume by that question that maybe he's talking about the difference between an active spirit, that interacts with you, versus what we call a residual that just is kind of a replay in time of something that happened. And I'm assuming he may be asking, do we believe that residual energies display personality? I mean, that's what I get from
him. Well, yeah, I mean, and to that point, and again, I'm not the final answer on this, but if my paradigm to explain everything that I've done the research on and explain an awful lot of phenomenon in science we can't explain any other way, it holds water, the answer to that question is absolutely without a doubt. Every thought you've had, every emotion you have, every feeling you have, every sensation you have, all of these things are energies, and the energy is permanent. I mean, we begin to understand that as physicists and metaphysicists, that these energies are permanent. And so basically they exist, and they're also instantaneously connectable. I say connectable versus connected because connected assumes that we're trying to tune in. You know, just like right now, we're on this particular, you know, broadcast, but there are literally hundreds of thousands of broadcasts going on in the world right now, and somebody's only tuned into one of them. The folks are listening, and that person that just logged in, you know, is listening to this. And so, but those other ones are just as real. They're just not tuned into them. So it's pretty much that way with all of the energies that are out there. So there's no question that, and by the way, the more connected you are in many different ways. In fact, it could be a genetic connection, such as identical twins, or a close friend connection where you have this kind of synergy and mental connection. Then the more likely that's going to happen. Yeah. So that you have this kind of a way. I mean, I have a brother who's close to me, and if we didn't talk to each other for 3 weeks, I'd go to pick up the phone to call him, and the phone would be ringing, and he would be on it. You know, and we would just laugh about this. It would just happen all the time. You know, so you have this type of telepathic kind of connection with folks. Now, so I don't know, in this particular case, maybe he was close to the entity that, you know, that's out there, that's continually, giving him feedback, plus or minus, but there's no question that fits into, you know, my description of reality.
Yeah. Joe, we're down here to the last couple minutes of the show, so I want to give you an opportunity here to tell everyone how they can go about getting your books.
Sure. Well, thank you very much. Well, first of all, I also want to say that, I have a show on Thursday nights. It's called the Ordaining Reality Hour, and it's on Gem Jin Radio. So it's www.gem, which is gemjin.com. And in fact, Jimmy, I'm gonna have Lucy book you as a guest. I think our first opening is sometime in June, but you would be absolutely perfect guest. I hope you can make it upcoming shows. And also, so, and there's a number of other, just like there is on the Parent X Network, many, many excellent shows on this whole realm. You can reach me, by the way, at joe@ordainingreality.com. That's the email. But I'm also joedonlan.com. That's the website, or ordainingreality.com. You can get on there and log in. I'll read some of the blogs, and you can get some good information about some of what we're talking about. And I promise I will answer.
Well, absolutely. And like I said, I'd be honored to be on your show. Can't wait. I think it'll be a great show. I think we meld real good on between the two things that we talk about. I think we've got similar thoughts and feelings on a lot of this stuff, and it'll be great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, and I concur completely.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you for being on. We're going to have to cut loose here. For everybody who was tuning in tonight, thank you. We look forward to seeing you here next week on Ghost Chatter. Everybody, have a good evening.
Thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
All right, we're off.